Venerable Sir Ajahn Brahmali Thero, welcome to Sri Lanka and in particular the Bandaravel Retreat, June 2016. We are at the fourth day of the program, and we have been fortunate enough to have you here in Sri Lanka for the third time for this kind of program, and we certainly hope you'll come next year also. Thero, give a brief about this program for this year.
Sure. So the idea with these retreats is basically to give people a chance to enter the word of the Buddha. It's all about the word of the Buddha, understanding how the Buddha taught things. One of the things that I have noticed in my own life is how people take all kinds of people as a teacher. They take, you know, a Sayadaw from Burma, or a Bhante from Sri Lanka, or an Ajahn from Thailand, or a Lama from Tibet, or a Master from China. All of these people are the teachers. There's very few people saying that the Buddha is my teacher. And I love the word of the Buddha. The word of the Buddha, if any teaching is profound in the world, it is the teaching of the Buddha, which is the basis, the profoundest, the most important, the foundation for everything else in the Buddhist teachings. So the idea here is to try to enter that word of the Buddha, to try to understand it on its own terms, without having too much filtration, you know, through a teacher and all of these other kind of things. So that is the purpose behind this. So it's a kind of gradual, and usually there's a theme every year, a certain theme that we follow, whether it's the Noble Eightfold Path or dependent origination or whatever it is, and then we structure around that, and then we make it practical. This is one, I think, one of the most important things as well of the Buddhist teachings. It is very easy to become sidetracked into philosophy and talking about things from a theoretical point of view, but it's so important to bring these teachings back to what actually really is important, and that is the practical aspect. How can we use these teachings to improve our own lives, to feel more relaxed, to feel more friendly towards the people around us, to have a better quality of life? That's essentially what it is about, and eventually that improved quality of life then merges kind of seamlessly into the practice of the path, also for deep meditation, samadhi states, and ultimately also for wisdom. So that is in brief what these retreats are about.
Thero, I think, as you said, the environment also looks very relaxed. We are in Bandaravela. It's very soothing. I think maybe because this program has, I don't know whether it has contributed towards it, but the environment is also very soothing. It looks lovely, and we have about 120 meditators, including 35 lay people here with us. I think in general, it's a great program. And moving on to the next question, you mentioned about Nirikshan. The theme of this year is Paticchasamutpada, and there you mentioned about delusion. And Thero, can you kindly explain us how meditation helps to overcome delusion?
Okay, yeah. So delusion is the foundational problem according to the Buddhist teaching here. Delusion is what keeps you trapped in suffering, which keeps the samsaric process going from life to life, keeps you going, coming back to this life again and again. It is the foundational, the most kind of basic problem of existence. And if you can resolve the problem of delusion, then of course you start to resolve the whole problem of suffering and everything else that comes from it. And the way to approach the problem of delusion is to understand that delusion itself is supported by certain other things. And one of the most important things that it is supported by is the defilements of the mind, right? If you are too greedy, if you have too many desires in the world, if you get upset too easily by things around you, these are the core defilements, the core problems of the mind. So just by reducing those problems in yourself, you start to move away from delusion. Delusion actually is diminished. A person who is less angry is a less deluded person. A person who has less desires is a less deluded person. So you learn through the practice how to reduce these things. The beginning is always the sila aspect, right? The pancha sila, keeping the precepts and these kind of things. And after a while, you also learn how to turn your mind in a different direction, how to look at people in a new way, so you see them for what they are, as conditioned beings, rather than seeing them as an enemy or somebody who is treating you in a bad way. And in this way, you can reduce your anger and become more peaceful, more equanimous in your life. And that is so worthwhile, right? It's so beautiful when you start to feel more equanimous. Don't allow your emotions to get upset all the time by the things in the world. And you flow through the world in this beautiful, smooth way. And that is such a nice thing that starts to happen, because it's almost as if you become an island unto yourself. It's one of those Buddhist messages, be an island unto yourself, right? You become an island unto yourself when you flow through the world in a smooth way, and the external phenomena don't impact you on so much anymore. And in this way, delusion itself is dying, slowly, slowly dying down, becoming less, and you're on the path towards happiness, towards greater contentment, towards more compassion and joy, and ultimately also towards more wisdom in your life as well.
Thero, it's something great. In the commercial world, people have a lot of problems. They overcome anger, being emotional, you know, that affects their careers, their jobs, harsh decisions are taken. Now, Thero, as a lay person, there are many people who want to meditate, who want to start the process. Do you have any tips for, where to start, how to begin? Could you kind of enlighten us on that?
Sure, yeah. I think that's a very important question, but I think one of the most significant things as well to understand is that sometimes people, they start meditating without actually even having established a foundation in sila, first of all. And it's important, if you want to choose between meditation and sila is a more basic thing, is the more important thing. So if you don't feel like meditating and you find it difficult or whatever, that's okay. At the very least, keep your sila. Try to be kind in the world. Try to do acts of generosity. Try to live a good life. And if you do that, you're already creating the foundations for future success in meditation practice. If you want to move on to meditation, the most important thing to always remember about meditation, it should be a nice experience, right? It should be something that enhances your quality of life, whereby you relax, you feel at ease, you feel a sense of joy perhaps even, and then it becomes very, very useful. There's enough suffering in life already. We don't need to create more suffering through meditation practice. Meditation should be something pleasant. So if you remember that much, then actually you already have a very good guide to guide you on this path. So this is the first thing. The second thing I would recommend most people to do is to find a suitable teacher, somebody you can go to and ask to resolve any problems you may have. Sometimes one way of doing that is to have a guided meditation. You know, you can have something on the CD or on the iPod or whatever it is, and you can listen to a guided meditation. Sometimes it's very hard to meditate by yourself if you are at home or whatever. But when you have a guided meditation you can listen to, it kind of takes you through the steps, takes you through the stages, and it's much easier to do the appropriate and do the right thing. It sets you in the right mood, right? You have a favorite meditation teacher who talks in a certain way, and you get into the right mood for meditation because of that, and you follow along as a consequence. So this is a good way of doing it. Sometimes it is also very nice to find a group of people who meditate together. Sometimes there is like an energy from the group which allows everybody to feel more at ease, more relaxed, and kind of be, it's like you're pulled along in the slipstream of the group, right? And you get some of the energy from that.
And Thero, onto a different area. You spoke about investments, long-term investments in a Buddhist way. Can you kindly explain about that?
Sure, yeah. I think that's a very interesting and very important point. One of the problems with our lives is that we tend to invest all our time, all our effort, all our energies into things that are bound to this life. Right, so we try to build up a good career for ourselves, we build up a nice family, we build up possessions, we build up a name for ourselves in the community, right? And everything is invested into what belongs in this life. When you get older, you're about to leave this existence, all of these things you have built up, you have to leave them behind, right? And then you can imagine yourself on your deathbed, you're about to pass away, and then you think, why did I do all that for? Now it has no purpose anymore. It belongs to this world. I have to leave it all behind. Instead of investing in the long term, which includes many lifetimes, all I did was invest in this tiny
slice of time, we'll just call this life, and I neglected everything else. So remember, this is one, I think, of the very important Buddhist ideas, that the idea is that to invest in the long term rather than invest just for a very narrow slice of time, which is called this life. And of course, that investment is an investment in the development of the mind, in virtue, in kindness, in being generous, but also in meditation practice. And that mental development, that improving the quality of your mind, this is one of the few things that you can actually take with you also into the future existence. Everything else has to be left behind. This is what you can take into your future existence. So think long term, right? Do you want short-term happiness? Do you want long-term happiness? Do you want an investment that pays off in the long term? Or do you want an investment that is null and void after this life has expired? And I think if we think like that, our attitude starts to change. We look at the world in a different way, and our investment process becomes different.
Theory talking about investments, in the commercial world, people talk about midlife crisis, where, you know, they don't find any excitement in life. So, you know, some people buy sports cars, or, you know, they invest, they go study music or do something like that. Theory, based on the brief, based on a sermon that you just delivered, can meditation get that inside happiness?
Of course, yeah. It's much better if you have a midlife crisis, rather than buy a sports car or kind of break off your relationship and get a new boyfriend or girlfriend or whatever, which many people do. Instead of doing something like that, you know, it's an opportunity, right? When you have a crisis, it's an opportunity to reflect about life. What really matters in life? What actually is important? Am I really going to get real satisfaction out of that sports car, that new relationship? And if you start to understand the way the mind works, you know, the problem is the craving itself. The craving is like you have something, you don't feel fulfilled, you don't feel satisfied in life. There's like a hole inside of you, an emptiness inside of you which isn't fulfilled. Is that sports car going to fulfill that emptiness inside? Of course not. The emptiness inside is a psychological problem. It's something that has to do with your mind. You can't fill that psychological problem up by some external thing like a sports car or whatever. So if you reflect wisely when you come to the midlife crisis, you start to think about life, understand it in the right perspective, instead of turning to silly pursuits like that, turn it to something much more profound, something that gives real satisfaction, real happiness, right? You have now understood, midlife crisis means you understand that there is a problem. Try to solve that problem in a way which actually has a real solution. Don't solve it with more of the same. If you do more of the same, you're just going to have another crisis later on.
Theroux, there's an upcoming program from my teacher, Ajahn Brahmanso Theroux, in January 2017. It's exclusive for monks. Can you give us some details about the program for the?
Certainly, yeah. That's going to be in January. I think the second half of January, 2017. So it's about how long away is that now? It's June, so 7 months away or something like that. And the idea, I think, is to give people access to Ajahn Brahm's teaching. Ajahn Brahm is very known for his Samatha and Samadhi meditation. So to give people, especially monastics, access to that program. So it will be a great way for monastics to deepen their meditation practice. I'm sure that there will be a lot of foreign monks and a lot of Sinhala monks coming to that retreat. So it's a great opportunity. So it's a wonderful thing. And it's one of the things with Ajahn Brahmavangso, is that he is so well known now around the world. He doesn't have much time. So I would recommend anybody who has a chance to join that retreat, because it is a rare opportunity. And sometimes when you are in the presence of somebody like that, you gain something which you don't gain just by listening to the talk or watching a video. So it can have a special impact on you. It's a wonderful opportunity here.
Yeah. Lastly, we have been fortunate for 3 times to have you with us in Bandaragada.
Yeah.
And we certainly hope we'll be lucky again next year, June 2017. And Theo, to touch on the program on the 3rd July at GMICH from 7 to 10:30 a.m.
Yeah.
For lay people, could you please enlighten the listeners on this?
Yes, certainly. So it is, as you said, starting at 7 o'clock. Yeah. And then ending around 10:30 or something. And I think the idea with the program is to do a little bit of meditation together. And it's very nice. The Bhima Sage is a very large room, right? So you get everybody coming together, and it's a nice atmosphere when you meditate together there. And then there will be a talk after that on aspects of Buddhist practice, a bit on meditation, a bit on how to support the meditation through all the other things in life. And then there will be a Q&A session afterwards, so people from the audience can ask whatever questions they may have. So I think it's always nice when you get a large group of people coming together like that, because it creates a special atmosphere, right? It's actually very beautiful. So everybody, of course, more than welcome to come to that.
That's a wonderful opportunity. 3rd July at 7 a.m. at BMICH for all lay people. Thank you, Thero. Thank you very much. You have given us a lot of Dhamma Dana, and it's very much, we appreciate it very much, and we are indebted for all the work you have done. Thank you very much, Thero.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Sorry.